Don't read this book. Under no circumstances should you read this book. This book is about drug abuse, about childhood sexual abuse, the stuff that's knocking around in that book you do not want bouncing around in your head late at night when you're trying to go to bed. Don't read this book. But do understand the title of this book. Because William Burroughs got the title for this book from one of his Beat Generation co-workers and co-friends, Jack Kerouac. And when Burroughs was asked, what is naked lunch? What does that mean? Here's the answer that he gave. And that's what I'm going to ask us to do tonight, to have a naked lunch moment with race in America, where we have to actually look at what is truly on the end of our fork. Because if we look at that, what we're going to see is not very pretty. Do read this book. It has great examples of how American politics has used code words and dog whistles to hide our dependence on white supremacy. And I want to give you an example, because I know you have heard in this entire debate, well, there's a difference between heritage and hate, and there's a difference between Southern culture and slavery, and the monuments are celebrating heritage, they're celebrating culture, they're celebrating Southern pride. And people have understood these code words for a long time, and they were never explained better than by this man.
Here's how I would approach that issue as a statistician, or a political scientist, or no, as a psychologist, which I'm not, is how abstract you handle the race thing. In other words, you start out, and now y'all are quoting me, you start out in 1954 by saying nigger, nigger, nigger. By 1968, you can't say nigger, that hurts your backfire, so you say stuff like force busing, states' rights and all that stuff. And you're getting so abstract now, you're talking about cutting taxes, and all of these things you're talking about are totally economic things, and the byproduct of them is blacks get hurt worse than white. And subconsciously, maybe that is part of it. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that if it is getting that abstract and that coded, that we're doing away with the racial problem one way or the other. You follow me? Because obviously sitting around saying we want to cut taxes, we want to cut this, we want, is much more abstract than even the busing thing. And a hell of a lot more abstract than never knew, you know. So any way you look at it, race is coming on the back burner.
Any way you look at it, race is going to get put on the back burner. So don't say nigger, just say states' rights. Remember that as we talk about our history, because that man learned from what we have done in the past. People think that the South lost the Civil War. They lost the war, but they won the peace. And they won it by rewriting the history of our country. And that's what I'd like to talk about this evening some. So we have our president saying, the history and culture of our great country is being ripped apart by the removal of beautiful statues. You can't change history, but you can learn from it. Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, who's next? Washington, Jefferson. And it's so foolish, and also the beauty that is being taken out of our cities and towns will be greatly missed and never able to be comparably replaced. I have an easy way for you to think about this. George Washington owned slaves. He absolutely did. The Washington Monument, if you go to Washington, D.C. and look at it, it's got nothing to do with slavery or the Civil War on it anyway. I think what he was honored for was, I don't know, forming the country, being the first president. The fact that he owned slaves, you are absolutely right, and I'm going to talk about that. But that monument is not a monument to fighting, killing others, and being willing to die yourself so that you can enslave people and treat them as chattel. That's the difference between the Washington Monument and the Jefferson Monuments and the monuments that I'm going to talk about. I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee. And what greets me as a citizen of Tennessee when I go to my state capital in Nashville, where my grandparents lived, this is what I see. Nathan Bedford Forrest. And you can see Confederate States Army, Lieutenant General, and his birth date and his death date. There is nothing else on this monument except the fact that he was a Confederate States General. Well, he made a fortune in Memphis as a slave trader, and he was the original Grand Wizard of the KKK. He led a Confederate massacre of black soldiers and white soldiers, American soldiers, during the Civil War. And this monument wasn't put up in 1865 or 1866 with people saying, he's such a hero, we have to recognize him. This monument was built in 1970, 2 years after Martin Luther King was shot in the neck, just down the road from Nashville, Tennessee. That is the yearbook from Nathan Bedford Forrest High School in Jacksonville, Florida. It's the most recent version that I could find from 1993. This is now called Westside High School in Jacksonville, Florida, and that name change occurred in 2014. And if you're wondering what the Civil War was about, how about not listening to pundits from today or politicians from today? How about going back and listening to the people that actually fought that war and what they have to say? If we ain't fighting to keep slavery, then what the hell are we fighting for? I got a couple of days ago an email from a gentleman who sent me an article about the Robert E. Lee family, because Robert E. Lee's descendants are still alive and in Virginia. And he said, I hope you understand that, you know, these descendants are not their ancestor. And I know you're going to give this talk, and I hope you will have in your mind and in your heart empathy for his family today. And I want to say, Robert E. Lee's family, the people that exist today, they never owned slaves either. Slavery is not our fault. We have no responsibility for it. It is part of our shared history. And that's what we can't walk away from. And one of the things that this gentleman sent me was a Washington Post article where one of Robert E. Lee's descendants was saying, we were always taught that our ancestor didn't fight to protect slavery, he fought for Virginia. And what I want to do is just to read you the end of some comments from someone much more eloquent than me on this subject, W.E.B. Du Bois, written in 1928, on this topic, what was the Civil War fought about? And when people say, we were taught that he didn't fight, he wasn't fighting for slavery, he was fighting for the South. It is the punishment of the South that its Robert Lees and Jefferson Davises will always be tall, handsome, and well-born. Their courage will be physical, not moral. Their leadership will be weak compliance with public opinion and never costly and unswerving revolt for justice and right. It is ridiculous to excuse Robert Lee as the most formidable agency this nation ever raised to make 4 million human beings chattel instead of men and women. Either he knew what slavery meant when he helped maim and murder thousands in its defense, or he did not. If he did not, he was a fool. If he did, Robert E. Lee was a traitor and a rebel, not a hero. I feel for the family of Robert E. Lee that's alive today, because this must be a really difficult time for them. This is the price you pay when you live a lie, when your view and understanding of history is based on a lie. Because when the truth comes to town, it really hurts when you're ripping that lie off.